Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Jimmy goes erect and Tyler goes to the dark side.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Bestline Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and maybe a little bit more with this episode, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. I am one of your hosts today. This is episode 155. You don't want to get the zipper sound in there?
I didn't want to distract you.
Oh.
You're on a roll.
You're like sitting there taking off your jacket and like
seductive.
I was preoccupied. Oh. There you go. Oh man. Welcome to the shenanigans of Jimmy and Tyler. This is, of course, the Jimmy and Tyler Show, Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. What episode is this? 155? I'm confused now with skipping episodes during the holidays here. This is the episode between Christmas, after Christmas, and before New Year's. How's that?
Perfect.
Perfect. There Let's we see. Go.
We're going to be 155.
Perfect. There we go. I'm glad one of us knows what's going on.
Thanks, Brian Murphy, for helping us out.
Thanks, Brian. This is episode 155. We are back recording like...
In person.
This is fantastic. We're
Feet apart.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
it works.
I think we're still probably on lockdown, though.
I could probably hock a loogie at you from here.
Yeah. So. I could definitely hit you.
No, okay. Is that a challenge?
No, well, not really. Okay. Maybe if I stood back further.
Okay. Have you seen the who's the guy? Captain Rob? He's a big YouTuber that just lights everything on fire.
No.
Oh man, he's amazing. But he like does everything that he does is to prove a point about something. And he's lighting fires to do it. Like he's a pyromaniac.
Yeah.
Like I can Uncle Rob, I can light
water on fire.
Anyways, he has this great video of do masks really work?
Oh yeah.
And so he sneezes and like his sneeze goes like 8 feet.
Right.
And so he finds something in his garage that's like lighter fluid, essentially. It's ignitable, flammable, and sees what it can spray 8 feet, and it's like ether. Mm-hmm. And so he then goes on spraying ether at a butane torch 8 feet away that's in front of a mannequin styrofoam head, and then sits there and tries to ignite the styrofoam on fire from different distances with a mask over the ether spray. And he gets all the way up to within like 3 inches and still cannot ignite the ether through the mask and hit the butane torch. And he goes, fuck, I thought that was going to work. but apparently he sneezed and his sneeze went upwards of 8 feet. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, sneeze. And they travel like super fast. I don't know how, like I can't quote anything, but.
I heard once that it was in excess of 100 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And it was funny. I think I was in sixth grade once, and my sixth grade teacher, one of the students asked him, oh, yeah, do you know what comes out of you over 100 miles an hour? And the teacher immediately goes, a fart? And I was like, oh, that'd be dangerous.
Yeah.
So,
man,
that's what I learned.
The second story.
I know, right? That's what I learned in second grade or sixth grade.
There you go.
Rocket physics, rocket science via farts. Thrust capacity is what we're here talking about today on the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. I don't think I've introduced you yet. Who are you? What are you doing here? And why are you touching those colorful buttons over there?
I was just looking at everything. Have you changed these since I last saw this board?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh, here you are right here, naughty.
You naughty little Sheila.
Yeah. So, hey guys, I'm Jimmy Jett, the other person that occasionally talks on this podcast.
Very occasionally.
Yeah, it's like an 80-20 thing here. we've done a lot of stuff in the last few weeks.
We have. We actually we recorded a bunch before the holidays so that we could kind of get some time off to spend with our families. And I was bubbling at the same time. So
I was bubbling, then you were bubbling.
Mm-hmm.
So we really haven't seen each other in like in person for the most part.
It's been about two and a half, 3 weeks.
Yeah,
almost,
somewhere
maybe,
around there.
Which is kind of crazy. Kind of awkward now looking at you, but you know, hey, it's it happens.
That's what the assistant says too.
We'll talk about that later. Never mind. I almost jumped straight into something, which you know. Anyways, yeah, we are back recording in the same studio together, which is really exciting. I don't know how those other podcasts do it, remote recording all the time, how podcasts do it.
I don't know. It's
a little frustrating, in my opinion. I'm like, it just doesn't work out the same. But we're back here. We've had a lot going on. So before we get into that, we just have to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's to all of the patrons and nobody else, because those are all that matters. No, just kidding. Everybody matters out there. Except Sherpa. So we'll be getting into here. This is coming up the end of the month.
Yeah.
So we have, this is what going to be airing on December 28th, I believe.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. So you guys have 3 days, including today, to get in for a Vire 400H. That's the 400 series compressor hard mount edition, so that you can easily flange mount it to a surface on your vehicle, on your off-roading rigs. Super exciting. Makes it really easy for mounting. Has an automatic shutoff in it, so it shuts off automatically at 150 PSI, which means you don't have to put in your own pressure cutoff switch. All you got to do is pretty much run the power wires through a relay, through a switch, switch in the cab, power to the battery, and call it good. Then kind of plumb some lines all to it, hook your Morflate in, and go snow wheeling. And don't break your axle.
We do have a few new patrons this month, too.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think we hinted about it a little while ago.
That's right, we did.
But CJ, with the CJ, actually joined us. I think I have no idea what's happening over at the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey podcast Patreon thing. But I think he might have felt bad that he was signed up there.
And not us.
And not us, and signed up on ours.
Hey, if we can get Patreons through Guilt, I'm okay with that.
Right? Yep, yep. We have Brian D. Newton at the $10 tier. Thank you so much.
Nice.
And Andrew Danger Zone Duggar. You know,
Duggar.
I just shouldn't second guess myself, and then I sound like I actually know what I'm talking about.
There you go.
But Andrew, just write me and tell me how to pronounce your last name.
Is it? Don't we have somebody else that's like Danger Zone or Danger?
We have a Danger.
Yeah, who is
it,
that?
Is it? It's Joseph DeSalt, isn't it?
Joseph Danger DeSalt. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
With his soon to be 37s on his Tundra that his wife doesn't know about.
Yeah, that video is pretty good. I think you should spend a little money on that rust bucket of a, what is that, a Chevy that he has? Or yeah, I think it's a Chevy.
I don't know. He's
the blue truck.
I want to see him build the van. That's the one I'm excited about.
I don't know which one that is.
I thought he had a 4x4 van that was a buddy of his, and he was going to be building it or looking at building it for somebody.
For those that don't know, when we did the Gear Wrench secondary runner-up giveaway, this what we're referring back to his video.
Yeah,
that he walked us around his property a little bit and showed us a bunch of projects that he has lying there that he's going to work on.
So. Yeah. He's almost worse than the snail trail compound.
I would say he is.
Yeah.
I mean, if every vehicle I think of mine is a project, so
true.
Then maybe not as bad. So we'll see.
We also had, you skipped a couple between CJ.
Oh, did I? That's the only ones that I had on my list.
Samuel Lewis. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, Mr. Lewis. And Tristan, this is a fun one. You should try to pronounce this name.
Yeah,
Tristan
Vandermeulen.
Vandermeulen.
Yeah,
Vandermeulen. Where do you think the emphasis is added that one? Vandermeulen. I don't know. Anyways,
Tristan,
thank you very much for the support.
Yeah, I needed to hit the expand button, I guess.
Yeah. We had a lot of cool signups, getting to say hi to more and more people. You know, the more followers we get, the more cool stuff we get to do for all the patrons and for all the listeners as well. So, such as the treasure hunt, we ended up getting a laser And so we are going to be lasering a lot of stuff. we're going to be going pew pew with a lot of things. But we did get the first two batches of Treasure Hunt pucks set and ready from Forest, the Micro Machine Forest. And those are going to get sent up here. So as soon as we get them, we'll start spreading them out. We're not sure exactly how high in elevation we're going to put them yet, because if right now there's snow at like 6,000, 6,500 feet and higher up in the Sierras, we will be spreading them out anyways.
Yep. And we did have a few people get in contact with me and sent me messages that aren't patrons that are willing to help and hide the pucks. So if you're not a patron and you are willing to, and you do go out in the middle of nowhere and are willing to hide some pucks for us, get into contact with me, Jimmy@snailtrail4x4.com.
Yeah. So I would just like to say there has been two organizations, entities that stole our idea recently.
I know of one.
You know of one?
Yeah.
Which one do you know?
Baja Designs.
Yes.
Yeah. What was the other one?
Top Gear, not Top Gear.
Oh, Fred?
No, the Top Gear guys on the Amazon Top Gear. Grand Tour.
The old school Grand Tour. Top Gear guys?
Yes.
Their new episode was pretty good.
It was.
Yeah.
They were trying to find treasure.
Right. Yeah. Well, Fred and
Madagascar.
Fred does it, and Dave.
Did they do a treasure hunt?
Not Dave. What? The old guy that's on Roadkill.
Fryberger.
Mm-hmm. They post on their Instagram where something is hidden.
Yeah.
And hide it, but they don't do. It's not a treasure hunt so much. They go like, "Hey, I'm at these crossroads and I'm hiding this right here."
Nice. You know?
And so they hide stuff as well. But we want ours to be more of a treasure hunt.
Like, yes.
We're only going to post coordinates and then maybe a photo of like the location you have to go get it.
Maybe. We'll see. If it's there for like 6 months and nobody's gotten it, we might post a photo.
Yeah. That's I'm down for that.
So anyways, treasure hunt is about to take off. We'll get you guys more updates about that. Hopefully we'll have stuff to hide down at King of the Hammers. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that does it. Thank you Morflate for donating the Vyaire compressor. Hopefully you guys go check all the cool stuff happening with Morflate. I said we would talk a little bit about it on this episode. I think we're going to put it off because we have a lot of other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we got a full episode ahead of you.
Yes, we do. So with that, definitely go check out Bestline. They ran a pretty cool Christmas special.
Yes, they did.
Christmas sales, like 40% off, like almost site-wide. So I hope you guys got a hold of some of those for the holidays and for your significant others, or maybe for yourself. I know that I need to go get some because I have a new vehicle that we'll talk about in a little bit here. But I need to get some for that vehicle. And then I'm going to need to get some drivetrain additive as well for some for Kermit.
Yes.
We'll talk about that a little bit too here.
Sounds good. I do want to say another little, a little shout out to Total Off-Road Podcast. They talked about our beer that we sent them because they saved one of the beers for their 1 year anniversary episode, which it was episode 53 for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they saved the barrel aged stout, and it's a stout that was barrel aged in Booker whiskey barrels.
Okay,
and so they talked about that a little bit, and it was fun to hear their take on that beer, that brew from 50/50 Brewing. So,
nice,
yeah. They if you guys are ever up in the Truckee area, go check out 50/50 Brewing and check out the Eclipse line that they have. It's pretty amazing.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool. I didn't hear that one. I'm so far behind on all my podcasts.
Yeah, me too. I caught up the other day because I with Snail Armor, some of the panels came into the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I am trying something new on them this time. And I countersunk all the holes on 48 panels.
Nice.
And that took a while.
I can imagine.
And so I had headphones in and was listening to podcasts and sitting at a drill press for a while. And speaking of that, I think I broke my drill press.
Oh, no. Yeah. You broke it.
It doesn't sound right anymore.
Uh-oh.
And I ran it pretty hot.
The belt came off?
No, it's something in the motor. Yeah, it got pretty hot. and I let it run like to try to cool it down, mm-hmm. and then turned it off, and then I came back to it the like later that day, and it would like made that like sound like it's turning on, but it's not moving. Something's happened to it, and I literally couldn't spin the like I took the lid off and tried to I spun all the pulleys except for the one that down in the motor, and then I got a pipe wrench and I clamped it on one of the pulleys and turned it, and it turned. It was reluctant, but it turned, and then I hit the on button and it started moving. So something locked itself up, and I broke it.
Your motor's going out.
Yep,
is what it is. So yeah,
I'm gonna need to find somebody that can repair that, or find if I can just add another motor on it somehow.
Yeah, I think you can add another motor on. You just got to find the right motor and mounting bracket to make sure it all fits.
And also, I had a benchtop grinder.
Oh, okay.
I had one of those blow up. Uh-oh. Just recently. I guess we're already getting into what the hell we've been up to.
Yeah.
It was actually when first gen Mike came by.
Oh, okay.
And we were doing another set of dual cases.
Yeah.
And
wait, another set with him
we did a set. I did my set that went into Samantha, and then we did a set with Mike, or I did a set with Mike, and we set it up.
Gotcha.
And he went over to the benchtop grinder, which has a like a wire wheel on it, so he's going to clean off some of the old gasket and everything that was on that, and mm-hmm. he turned it on. He's like, "This doesn't sound right." I'm like, "Yeah, the clutch is going out or something's not right. Just go for it."
Yeah,
and he's like, "Did it?" And it was. He's like, "Man, this thing's really smoking." I'm like, "Yeah, just keep going for it." And then I was standing over there, I'm like, "Wow, this thing's really smoking," and it's just going, and no load or anything under it, and it just goes boom.
Oh no!
Saw this little flame and this puff of smoke, and we're like, "Well, okay, well that one's done." Here, want me to hook up the angle grinder with a wire brush on it for you?
Yeah, jeez. So you blew up two motors.
Yeah, one and a half. Pretty much two. That I think the stand up drill press still works, but it's not happy.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm gonna need to figure that out, because I'm gonna need to order new panels here soon.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you
keep this going.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, cool. I'm curious. Did it work out setting the table down low so you can just bottom out the drill press?
Yeah.
To get the countersink in.
Yeah, that seemed to work out pretty well. For the most part, the panels are so long that I had to like put my Sumner jacks way out wide. So I'd go from the Sumner jack to just on to the platform for the drill press, back over to like the Sumner jack that's holding the weight of, you know, like 50 inches over, you know, there's a bunch of weight over there. And so sometimes I tried to get it to the point where there wasn't any bowing in the aluminum, but sometimes there was. And I think so that some are slightly deeper than other ones, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, before we get further into what we've been up to, we have some items in front of us.
Yeah, we do.
Do you want to get into that first?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay. We've got a variety of things here, from presents to from each other to each other. Mm-hmm. And then we have at least one present from, I think this one was from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, right?
The blue one, yes.
Yeah, the blue one here is from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey to us.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to give a shout out to Wheeling Wine and Whiskey for, well, not really them. Who cares about them? But Kevin Jones.
Oh.
Because I thought it was a really interesting way. They talked a little bit about chainsaws.
Yes.
On the interview with Wheeling Wine and Whiskey when they were down with Kevin. And I never really thought of a chainsaw as a drag vehicle.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, that makes total sense.
Yes.
But I never really thought of it that way. So I was like, oh, I have a whole new definition or view perspective of chainsaws now and what you can do with them.
That said, I also want to give a shout out for Kevin Jones.
Yeah.
Go follow Ultra4Jones on Instagram. He's trying to get to 2,000 followers before King of the Hammers. And he's at like 1,600, maybe 1,700 now.
Mm-hmm.
So go follow him. Go check him out. He's doing some awesome like late night updates on his stories if you follow stories. And he's just talking about what he's doing to do all to working on his rig, because he doesn't like to call it prep, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that he's doing to work on his rig to get it ready to go out and bash it at Hammers.
He's surely his rig?
Yeah.
Levi Shirley-ing it.
Levi Shirley-ing it. He's ripping it down really far.
Yeah.
So it's fun to go watch his stories, see what everything he's up to. And let's push everybody out there to go follow him, because let's get him to 2,000 followers. That would be awesome.
Yeah. That'd be really cool. Yeah, he said that if he gets to 2,000 before King the Hammer, is that he will do a random drawing for some rides down at King of the Hammer. So either down at King Hammers if you're there, or if you're in California, hopefully he'll drive out to you within the state somewhere within a reasonable distance and take you on a ride in the race car, which is pretty damn cool.
I would love that.
I would love it too, but I'm not gonna be able to fit in the race car anymore. So
he's too many Christmas cookies.
He's changing the window bar. I won't be able to get in. Too tall. But
maybe.
Yeah, so these two are not gifts for you. I just wanted to talk about them and show them off because I thought they were pretty damn cool. But let's see. So this one's from Willing Wine and Whiskey.
Yeah.
To you. That one's specifically for you.
Oh. Was there one for you?
I think so. I don't remember where it went though. I think it was in the I put it in the box maybe. No, it's
that one's from me to you.
Okay.
And this one's from me to you.
That one's from me to you.
Yeah.
What did I do? I thought I had. Oh, it's the red bag over there. That's. I was like, it was on this table. Okay, so we have Snail Trail Christmas.
Yay!
Yay for Snail Trail Christmas.
Oh, cool! You could be in a freak show.
Freak show time.
Or maybe this one would be better.
We're like two kids in a candy store.
Get that last one out.
Yeah, we can get rid of the other one. So anyways, cool. Let's get going here. We have the same amount, I guess. So
yeah, for the most part.
Go open that one.
Let's open Wheeling Wine and Whiskeys first.
Sure. That way we can just get them over with and get them off the podcast as soon as possible.
Finally.
Yeah.
I got some blue paper in front of me, and it's definitely a book on the inside. So let's see.
Oh, is it going to be like... Oh.
That's 101 good. So bad... They're good dad jokes.
Nice. Read us one. Open one up right now.
Opening up to the random page. Dad, this thesaurus is terrible.
Is it really?
Yes, it's also terrible.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
This is a bad book, Jason and Chris. Terrible, terrible find.
What did the janitor say when he popped out of the closet?
Hi.
Supplies.
Oh, that's the Asian janitor. Sorry. Supplies.
All right.
I have a red and white candy cane striped bag with a little fuzzy on it. Looks like something you would put on fuzzy handcuffs. And some tissue paper. And it says it's a urinal shot glass.
That's pretty funny.
Oh my god, it actually is a fucking urinal. Okay, so I'm gonna read this because I haven't read it. It says our urinal shot glasses are the number one favor for your next party. That's right, no number two here. You're in for a treat with this high quality 1.5 ounce ceramic shot glass set. The set of two shot glasses makes a perfect white elephant gag novelty or party gift. You'll be pissed you haven't had these to help you get wasted before. So these things, I don't have my kniff on me.
Dad, do you want to join the Procrastinators Club?
Not yet. Maybe later.
Maybe next week. Well, I think we should go have some shots.
We need to load up one of these.
One. Let's load up both.
Both of them?
Secretary.
The secretary is in the studio today. She'll have to bring over some brown liquid from the cabinet that...
We need to drink out of our urinals.
We need a drink from our urinal. Something brown. Whatever. Surprise us.
Yeah, it can be bring clear. Us whatever. Well, while we get those filled up, do you want to do the next one, next round?
Yeah.
Why don't you open that one for me? Because once you open one of these, it only makes they go hand in hand.
Okay.
So you'll know what it is pretty much, I think, once you open one of them.
Okay. So this is a white bubble mailer. And then there's some wrapping inside. Ow. Oh, that's kind of cool. It's a stamp. So it's like just an ink stamp, like you would push an ink pad and then stamp something.
Yeah.
And it's the Morphlight logo.
Yeah.
The MF
So you want to guess what that is?
I'm guessing it's neon green ink pad.
Yes.
Here, can I wear this?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Oh, no, it doesn't stay. I can't wear it. Never mind. We'll put it there for now. You wrapped this too well. It's going to make for terrible podcasting. So this is, I'm guessing, the ink pad to go with it. It doesn't say what color it is, though.
It's not neon green.
It's neon.
It's black.
Missed opportunity.
They don't make a neon green one.
Well, that's cool.
Or at least the company I was buying it from doesn't make it. Was really hard to find one because that's, I think, a 3x4 Morphlight logo. And it's really hard to find an ink pad that large.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Wow. That's really cool. Thanks. I'll be able to stamp all the shipping boxes now with that.
Yeah.
Instead of using stickers like I was using.
Definitely.
That's cool.
Shall we cheers our urinals now that they're back?
Yes.
Do we even ask what this is before we take it?
It kind of looks like dehydrated pee.
It does it's look something. Like urine.
Cheers. Is that Old Elk? It's not quite as smooth as Old Elk.
Jameson. Oh, that's cask.
A Jameson. There we go.
It's a cask, cask mate, handcrafted in cask barrels, Irish whiskey, stout edition. There you go.
Nice. Tasty. Not quite as smooth as Old Elk, but a lot of flavor there.
Ooh. Ah, yes. All right. I'm going to open this one that makes sloshing noises from you. It's in a manila envelope that looks like ones that Morphlight does.
Yeah. That may or may not be a Morphlight shipping envelope. All right, we need...
It's a...
More urine.
Jar of juice or urine or...
It's a apple pie moonshine.
Apple pie moonshine.
Yeah.
From our friend.
A different guy. So this is, you've heard him talked about over on Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Okay.
We like to refer to him as Capri Sun Danny. Mm. He had the Capri Suns that he was going to put Jack in.
I know him. I think when I was down at the Esperita Force Safety Clinic.
Oh, was Danny there?
No.
He was at the Fordyce work day that we went to where we filled in that massive mud
hole. Yeah.
He was there, but
I don't. I've met. He was there, and he was at the dinner, right?
The dinner
when we went to dinner.
Where we've been
when we at the Fordyce work party when we went to dinner.
He was at the chicken tacos.
So yeah, I've had his as well. Yes.
Yeah, he makes some really good stuff. So yeah, apple pie, man. It's tasty.
Yum. Mm-hmm. That is tasty. All right, you have one more in front of you.
Have one more. This is an envelope, and it says Tyler Z.
I think it's Tyler and then a squiggle.
Oh.
Because it's not a Z? The envelope over there for Sherpa also has a Z under it. Oh. So I think it's just a squiggle.
Nice. Let's
Unless
see.
You want to be Tyler Z.
I could be Tyler Z. This is from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey as well. I'm not sure when they dropped this off. It's a letter about the Old Elk Club. So I'm guessing it came with the flask that they have for their patrons.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
A little background on the flasks. We would be remiss if we did not acknowledge Lee Lim, out saying FJ80.
Absolutely.
And his company Solve Function, who does awesome laser engraving on anything. Oh, there, it's on the bottom of the flask.
It's on the bottom of the flask that you get from them.
Nice. Yeah, definitely check him out. Check out Solve Function. He has a 3D printer, mm-hmm. a couple of 3D printers, and a couple of lasers that he does some really cool, like just custom... solutions solutions to problems for off-roaders like hood risers. He 3D prints hood risers for different things, and he'll laser a lot of different stuff too. So check him out over at solvefunction.com. he does a lot of really cool work. But Jason saw the flask on his Instagram page and told Lee that he had to have one and asked if he could put the Old Elk logo on it. And of course, Lee can. So these flasks, just in case you guys haven't seen them, they're what you get if you are signed up on Wheeling Wine and Whiskey's
$20 tier.
$20 mm-hmm. tier. After 3 months of being on their $20 tier, you get this really cool little flask. It looks like a little gas can.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the Old Elk emblem on it, which is great. solve function on the bottom of it. And then they will customize up to, I think, 10 characters on it, something like that.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah. But mine, I didn't apparently get the choice to what to put in mine, and my flask says no fireball.
That's so pretty good.
The first thing I'm going to do with it is I'm going to fill it up with fireball and put it out on Instagram and tag them.
Yes, totally. Yeah. I'm curious what their next 3 months gift is, because they haven't told anybody that yet.
That's true.
And now that these gifts are out and the 3 months are up, I want to know if we should not continue to give them 20 bucks a month.
Yeah, if they're not going to do another,
they're not going to do another gift.
Can we drop down to like the $1 tier then?
Yeah, I don't know.
So anyways, thanks guys. Yeah. This is really cool.
Thanks
really
everybody. Cool. Thanks Tyler. Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas. Hey, you do too. You know what the best thing about Switzerland is?
I don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but their flag's a big plus.
Oh, you've said that one before.
Have I? I don't think you remember have. That one.
Yeah. Oh, man. So that's present time. That's a Christmas snail trail style.
I saw a gift that was really cool that I didn't get, and I saw it on Instagram.
Was it a red dot buggy?
Huh?
Was it a red dot buggy?
No, but that would be pretty cool. Yes. It was for my buddy, Jared Crawford.
Okay.
He runs Crawl TV.
Okay. That Jared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His girlfriend gave him a 1 square foot plot of land in Scotland.
Really?
Yeah. And for owning a 1 square foot of land in Scotland, he became a lord.
So he's now Lord Jared.
He's Lord Jared.
Okay, I can see how that's pretty damn cool. Right?
That's so cool. So if you're looking,
what the hell is the point of owning any piece of land in Scotland?
Yeah,
unless it has a castle on it, I'm not interested.
Yeah, not even a square. I wouldn't want a square foot castle.
Yeah, right.
Like no, but to become a lord would be pretty cool.
Okay, yeah. That'd be because is he like signing everything now as Lord Jared?
I totally would. Lord Jimmy Jet.
LJJ.
So before we jump over, do you have any other Christmas highlights that you want to talk about? Did you get anything for Christmas that is like mind blown?
I did. These two things are mind blowing. One of them I have been eyeballing for a very long time. That one there.
Oh, I know what this is. This is the donut.
It's a donut.
Yeah.
It's a recovery donut.
It's not a factor 55.
No, it's a
bag.
Correct. It's not the factor 55 one.
It's not a factor 55 one.
No.
That makes sense why it's not a factor 55 bag.
Yeah.
It's an Overland Vehicle Systems.
Mm-hmm.
It's a synthetic rope snatch block.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah. And so it's a donut. Mm-hmm. And because it doesn't have to have an opening in the middle, because soft shackles, you can open and shut it really easily. Mm-hmm. So you can slide the soft shackle through the middle, and then the rope for your synthetic rope goes around the outside and creates a snatch box scenario or situation.
Yep.
Yeah, this is really cool.
Yeah, 41,000 pound breaking strength.
Wow.
On that guy. So normal snatch blocks are around 20,000 pound breaking strength. And so this guy has a 40,000 pound breaking strength, and it really depends on your soft shackles.
Sure.
So your soft shackles are usually going to be, well, technically your winch line is going to be the weak point of your winching system. But as long as your soft shackle holding onto that thing is good for its 30 to 40,000 pounds that most soft shackles are, that thing's good for 40,000. And you don't have this massive, big ass heavy snatch block to carry around everywhere.
Yeah.
This
is really neat. And it's perfect if you have synthetic lines, right? Mm-hmm. You can use this with cable. It wouldn't. Can you?
Yeah. You don't want to use any pulley with both wire cable and synthetic lines.
If you use it for one or the other, you can't use it for vice versa.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
So that was the first thing I got, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I've been wanting one of these for a very long time.
Yeah.
So I finally got one. I'm going to need to put it to use now.
You know, I don't own a snatch block.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I have, I think, 3 in Kermit. Now I'm going to have 4.
I'm going to steal one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always been one of those parts that I've just asked. Bobby never really gets stuck, right? So I don't need it. But I was going to go snow wheeling the other day and didn't, because I didn't want to go by myself, right? And because I knew snow wheeling, you're going to get stuck, right? And I don't have the equipment to get myself out.
Yeah.
And a snatch block, well, a winch and a snatch block would definitely help with that situation. So
you need something to hold your winch on. Yeah. Onto Bobby.
Well, I need, yeah. Yeah. All the above. I have a winch.
Yeah.
It's in the shop. It's been there for years. Thanks, Hustle Nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I didn't go, but I think that's one of the things, like, I don't necessarily need a snatch block because I don't have a winch, right?
Yeah.
But once I get the winch, I would need a snatch block.
Yeah. Once you get a winch, we'll set you up with a bunch of different recovery gear.
Yeah. Something I got, which I didn't bring in, but, I got a bunch of wag bags.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I was one of the things, like, it was way down on my Christmas list. Uh-huh. But yeah, my brother's like, I got you a shitty present. And I opened it. It was so funny. But yeah.
That's cool.
Wag bags are here in California, I don't know how it is outside of the California, but we're very careful about human waste.
Yeah.
And wag bags are one of those things that you just don't want to not have with you if you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, and the assistant actually found a plastic carrying thing that fits all these wag bags perfectly. And so,
oh, nice.
Yeah. And it was all random, you know, that I got a bunch of wag bags. And then after cleaning up for some, Christmas, we found a plastic thing that fit everything really well. So, yeah. So I'll have access wag bags if anybody needs one and sees me on the trail.
That's wag bags are one of those things because here in California, we're starting to get to a critical mass issue where we are getting more, especially with 2020, with more people going out and enjoying their vehicles up in the mountains. We're getting more off-roaders than we have trails available.
Absolutely.
And so they've noticed this issue in Utah with the monolith that appeared in Utah.
Oh, yeah.
The big kind of outcome from the monolith, the whole situation, is that there's human feces everywhere in the surrounding area around where the monolith was, from people trying to go out and find the monolith, not bringing wag bags, not bringing a shovel, and just shitting there on the side of the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an issue that California's had for a long time, and we've figured out wag bags are the way to go. And then there's places like the Rubicon Trail, if they have a lot of support for the trail, they've been able to put in outhouses all along the trails. And so this is one of those things, I really wish there was a way to distribute wag bags at trailheads for off-roading trails. Give me some more. the urinal.
Cheers.
These things are pretty cool.
This one's apple pie, though.
Yeah. So I really wish there was a way to distribute wag bags at trailheads, but the problem is, how do you do that without letting everybody, just one person, empty the wag bag distribution center and taking them all for themselves? Then you have a stealing issue, and like, how do you manage that?
Yeah, you post somebody up or something, I'm not sure. And I mean, I agree, but eventually you'll like, I already have 30 of these in my rig.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to steal 10 more.
Yeah.
You know, so eventually people will get to the point where they don't need to go, take the whole jar of candy.
So someone just needs to donate $1 million in wag bags so we can distribute them through the trails and then have to keep redistributing them for 2 years until everybody's completely stocked on wag bags. Then the trails will stay stocked.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I don't have the answer to that, but I think that that was really nice.
Yeah.
It was like one of those gifts that I never expected, but I'm actually glad that I have them in excess now.
And that's one of those things, like, we talk about as off-roaders, we're like, man, Christmas gifts, what are stuff that we would really appreciate getting, but like, we wouldn't ever get ourselves. And that's like one of those items.
Yeah. Well, I went camping with Lee Lim, speaking of Lee Lim, since we've spoke about him a few times, out saying FJ80.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like a whole toilet, wag bag, tent situation that popped up super fast because we were on our way out of the undisclosed location.
For the kids?
And the assistant's assistant had to go potty. And, we were going to wag bag it out in some bush somewhere. And he's like, hold on. And he's like, whop, 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 whop. And up came pretty much a porta potty.
Yeah.
And she like sat in there singing to herself. And we're like, are you done? And she's like, yeah. We're like, all right, get out of there.
Fun, though. Yeah, there's a guy in the Mad Hatters, Josh. Josh, he's got a couple little kids, and he has the same setup. He's got a full-on toilet and a wag bag, and he has like this little magazine stand he puts in there too.
That's hilarious.
It's pretty funny, and it's like you just kind of sit in there, and you're like, this is actually pretty cozy. You just kinda have a good time.
So I think I'm going to have to get one of those portable toilets.
It's either that or you have to get a Lance Camper. So pick your poison.
Well, yeah, portable toilet's like $60.
Yeah.
Right. I think I'll baby step this one.
Yeah. There you go.
And not like I can take the Lance Camper down to the undisclosed location.
Yeah, that is true. It'd be a very interesting ride down. Yes. I don't know if you'd make it.
Some of those hairpin turns.
Yeah.
And like Clifford.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude. Yeah, I don't know if Clifford would make that. So this is the other thing I got. And this is one of the cool things I love about doing this podcast. So this we've talked about multiple times on the podcast where you should never go off-roading. This is the number one item you should take with you, especially snow wheeling. I mean, anytime you should have one of these, but snow wheeling, you have to have one of these. You can't leave home without it.
Yeah, it's a snow shovel.
It's a snow shovel, and it's an avalanche shovel. So these are one of those.
Is that a brand?
No, it's a style. And what it does is it's completely collapsible.
Yeah.
But it you can erect it out. you can erect your shovel and put your shaft together so that you have a full sized shovel.
Right.
Yeah. But it's super lightweight and collapses down to almost nothing.
Right. I think a lot. I don't know. I have a backpacking shovel, backpacking snow shovel that does kind of, but this comes in four pieces that you assemble and mine like
telescopes.
I was going to say kaleidoscopes.
That'd be fun shovel. Right.
Mine telescopes out to get to where you need to. I assembled it incorrectly. I put the wrong piece in the wrong spot.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's nice. That's a solid 3.5 feet or so, which is for snow shovels. That's about all you need.
Yeah.
This is cool. Snow shovels are a completely different breed than normal shovels too.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of non-stick stuff on them that helps you shed the snow off, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. I used to take snow shovels backpacking with me because we would do a lot of snow camping, and you really can't ever find a flat spot in the snow for the most part. And so
you got to make one.
Yeah, we would have to make one, and we would use it to dig dead man's.
Okay.
Which we talked about in another episode. And then building up berms around your tent if it's super windy.
For windbreaks.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that, and you only have to build it up high enough that the wind doesn't go underneath your rain fly for the most part. So it's, as long as that wind kicks up and then hits your tent higher than where the rain fly is, you're not getting snow in your tent, no wind in your tent, your tent's staying pretty warm. And so, one of us would always carry a snow shovel.
Nice.
Whenever we went out.
Yeah. So this is one of the things, it's like when we put out the, all the items do you take for overlanding episode, and Weld's Taco sent us all these cool, cool ideas. This was an item from Jason over at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. We were talking about snow wheeling when we did our snow wheeling episode, and what do you need to do to prep your rig for snow wheeling and put your shovel in your rig was one of the items. And he immediately called me and goes, you have to get an avalanche shovel. Stop fooling around with the full size shovel. Cause I was complaining about, I hate the full size shovel, but
yeah,
you can't use those dinky little overlanding shovels for snow wheeling.
Yeah.
So he told me about this, and I put it on my Christmas wish list, and that's one of the things I got.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Let's see. The only other thing that I got for Christmas that has to do with off-roading and outdoors was something that I bought for the assistant.
Was it another shiwi?
No.
Oh.
It was a collapsible sink. A collapsible water basin.
Huh.
And we use them for like sinks or rinsing.
Doing dishes or
doing
something?
Dishes.
Okay.
And we have just like a small Rubbermaid or KitchenAid little thing that we take out and fill up with water and fill up with some dish soap and use it to rinse and clean dishes.
Yeah.
Well, now this one, and that's like, 2 or 3 inches tall, let's say 1 foot by 1 foot, whatever. But it's rigid. It's always erect.
Yeah, that's a take two, second time having erect in the episode.
I have a joke.
All right.
But so now this one will collapse down. It's It's bigger. It's about the same size as the one we have. Ours isn't 12 by 12. It's a little longer. But this one will collapse down to roughly about an inch height, all in all. And so it's going to be a lot easier to pack.
Gotcha.
And it was funny because I gave it to the assistant, and so on the wrapping, I said to the assistant and Jimmy from Jimmy.
There you go.
But because it really was, I mean, it's for us whenever we go out and go exploring and go playing with our trucks.
Nice. So that's like the trailer straps I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we can get to here in a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, I got a cool shirt. I really love this one. This is one of my new favorite shirts. I wore it over here. It's a Link. And it's like the Ocarina of Time, I think, is the one where he's blowing on the musical instrument. Mm-hmm. And instead of that, it's the old school Nintendo console
blowing on, blowing on it.
And all you gray haired people like me will know what that means. Uh-huh. I got those. I got these socks. Actually, I'm wearing some of my gear. I love funny socks. It's one of the things I enjoy.
Okay.
This is the assistant's cat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I have cat. They're cats and like fish bones, and it's legitimate picture of the assistant's cat that they put onto the sock. So that's pretty cool.
That's funny.
And then I got a lot of other randomness. But
have you gotten any underwear with Bobcat on it yet?
No, not yet.
That'd be pretty good.
No, but I did get the underwear that has the ball hammock.
Wait, what?
Ball There's hammock.
A ball hammock underwear?
Yeah, it's got like a whole extra area for.
It's a banana hammock and underwear.
Kind of, it's got like extra sides and extra things. That was something from the assistant. She was just super.
So that's one of those gifts to Jimmy from the assistant for the assistant.
Kind
of,
I guess. Okay, yeah, I don't know. She was laughing the whole entire. Like I started opening it and she just started laughing. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? And she's like, I'm so excited. And like I open it, I'm like, undies, and she's like, not just undies. And like she then unwrapped the next spot and she's like, look at this, and it has like this extra webbing and things and an extra like built out area for it to cradle the important jewels, you know. And and I'm actually wearing them right now. They're kind of comfy.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Do they allow a lot of airflow?
No, but they are the moisture wicking material, like
there you go.
Yeah, like some workout clothes.
Be kind to the things that go erect. Number three,
I have a joke.
You need the high five one.
High five.
There we go.
So, yeah, nice. I think that's good enough for presents in regards to all that.
Nice. I got the other fun thing I got, which is, I don't know, it's kind of fun. It's not really mind-blowing, though.
Yeah.
But I got a second grinder and a bunch of cut-off discs and flapper wheels. So
nice.
I can now cut things and then grind things without having to undo the wheels and the discs and put other ones back on and go back and forth the whole time.
I saw a Makita grinder for sale on Facebook Marketplace for like $40, but it was down in like Concord.
Oh, I'm like, just ship it. Have them ship it.
I know. I don't want to drive down there to get that second grinder. And it was a corded one. So, I mean, regardless to brand, you know, I think it'd be fine, but
My other Christmas gift to myself was a new truck.
Oh, yeah. You're actually going to talk about that now?
We're going to talk about it now.
All right, let's do it.
So I traded in the RAV4, and I spent a good week searching for a 5.7 liter Tundra. Yes. And so I spent a good chunk of time. I found like all the Tundras that were reasonably priced in the Sacramento area, and went to look for them and went to hunt them down. So I went out on a Friday, the Friday before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I went out and everyone I looked at, they weren't anything special.
No,
it was just like a basic truck, and they were all 2006 through 2012.
Okay.
And anything 4x4 was like $27,000 and more.
Yeah.
And because I wanted the four door.
Sure.
I wanted the four wheel drive. I wanted the 5.7 liter engine. And then everything else from there, I was kind of like, yeah, I can give on some of the amenities inside and everything. But ultimately, I wanted to be between 15 and 20,000. not happening.
No.
No way in hell is that happening.
No. Nope.
I found a couple of first-gen Tundras with the 4.7 liter engine in it, which is a bulletproof V8.
4.6.
4.7.
Is it 4.7?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4.7.
4.7 and 5.7?
Yep.
I thought it was 4.6 and 4.5.7. Mm.
Yeah, 4.7, 5.7. And those 4.7s, they're a bulletproof V8. Yeah,
they are.
And so I was like, Definitely. Okay, because I'm mainly looking at it for a workhorse truck, right? And so I was like, okay, I'll look at some of the 4.7s, you know, drop my price mm-hmm. range a little bit. And they were just all beat to hell.
Yeah, they're old.
They're old. And so I was like, all right, so I'm looking at the 5.7, looked around. I found one two-wheel drive, four-door, that was like $22,000 in the whole Sacramento area. I was like, okay. And so I went, I was like, you know, I'm just going to stop by. I have two favorite used car places I like to go by every once in a while just to see what they have in.
Mm-hmm.
Went by the first one. They didn't have anything. Went by the second one, and they actually have two lots, a car lot and a truck lot. And so I went just kind of perusing through the truck lot, and they had, you know, a couple of Tundras here and there, but they were, I mean, the ones I was looking for, the four-wheel drive, four-door, they were, you know, the only one, everything above like 2013 and newer was like $30,000 to $40,000 easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything 2006, 2012, which is the earlier body style before they changed the body style in the second gens, was, 20,000 to 30,000. And I was like, this is crazy. I was like, this is crazy. But like all the four wheel drives were 26, 27, 28. All the two wheel drives were 20, 21, 22, 23,000. And I was like,
sure,
this is just crazy. And so I started looking around, and then a Ford F-150 caught my eye. And I was like, you know what? I know nothing about Fords. And I was talking with the sales guy. He's a truck dude, and he had heard of King of the Hammers before, and he just bought a JK Rubicon.
That's too bad.
I know, right? He said he bought it for the wife, and the wife absolutely loves it. And the
You're fired!
Right? And the kids want to take it out and go off-roading, but he's like, no, I just spent a bunch of money. I don't want to take this off-roading. And I was like,
sure.
There's the JK problem.
Yeah.
So anyways, we got talking a lot, and I finally was like, you know, I know a lot about Toyotas. I don't know anything about Fords, but I know that Ford F-150s are the number one truck in America.
Yeah, I think they're the number one selling vehicle in the world.
Holy shit, I didn't realize that.
Number one selling truck.
Numbers, that would make
they
sense.
They are. I think the Ford F-150 is the number one selling truck in the world.
Interesting. I thought the Hilux would have been pretty damn up there, because the Hilux is super popular in every country except America.
Right. But what do a lot of Americans drive vehicle-wise?
Trucks. Yeah.
And I think, and when you look at that, a lot of people drive Toyota Tacomas,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people drive everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And Fords are definitely up there.
Yeah.
But the thing is that Ford F-150s don't change their name or change the brand or change That's the true. Model when you go outside of the world. So yeah, Toyota Hiluxes are great in the rest of the world. But then when you come to the United States, the Toyota Tacoma is awesome.
Yeah.
If they would have called it probably the Toyota Hilux here in the States, it mm-hmm. might be the number one selling truck in the world.
Mm-hmm. But because they split the name.
But because they split the name, I don't think it is.
Interesting. So yeah,
that's just my guess.
It sounds logical to me. Yeah. Sounds good.
Do we have that one? Do we have a Homer doing that?
I don't think we do.
No.
Because Wheeling Wine and Whiskey had it. I didn't want to copy the peasants.
All systems go.
All right, I'll stop.
So anyways, I'm like, all I know about Fords is that they're the number one selling truck in the United States. Mm-hmm. So they have to be number one selling for a reason. Other than that, I know nothing about the drivetrains, nothing about the engines, nothing about the bodies, the frames, the chassis, nothing, suspension. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know. And so I was talking to the guy, and there was two Fords that kind of caught my eye within the price range I was looking at. And they were quad cabs, four-wheel drive. They had an e-locker in the rear.
Ooh.
And
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
E-lockers in the rear.
What rear axle?
I believe the 44, the Dana 44.
Okay.
I'm not sure what's in a half ton. I think a half ton's a 44. I
Probably.
Could be wrong. But it has a rear e-locker, and they were set up for towing already. All the towing stuff is built into the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And it has this 3.5 liter V6 engine that I know nothing about, an EcoBoost. I know it has twin turbos, and that's, I don't know what the EcoBoost quote unquote about is it.
Two snails
on it. Yep. And so I was like, you know what? I said, I'm interested in this truck here. Because I was out looking around. Oh, while I was looking around, they had an F-350, the 6.7 diesel,
mm-hmm.
quad cab, 8-foot bed for $27,000 with 140,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And I was like, I looked at it and I kind of took a double take and I was like, you know, I don't know a whole lot about Fords because we were just talking about it, but I know that that truck there should be $40,000.
Yeah.
Why is it $27,000?
Yeah. And why didn't you buy that?
I came very, very close to buying that, actually.
Okay.
So anyways, I was asking him, he goes, it has a TMU on it from Oregon, DMVU. So a TMU is called True Mileage Unknown.
Oh.
And essentially...
Interesting.
It's a tag that the DMV puts on it to help with buyer protections that says, if you buy this vehicle, the true mileage of the vehicle is not known. And the dealer was like, we don't know why it has this TMU. It's a California vehicle. It's been in California its whole life. And Oregon put the TMU on it. And he goes, in order for us, we have all the repair history of the vehicle, the Carfax and everything, and all of the mileage leads up to where it is now on the odometer. So we're not sure why it has a TMU. In order for us to get the TMU cleared, we would have to take the vehicle up to Oregon, stay there for a week and a half at the Oregon DMV, which a lot of DMVs are completely shut down right now,
mm-hmm.
And to be able to do all the paperwork and get it all clear to the TMU and then bring it back, which will cost us $5,000 easy to take mm-hmm. it up there and have somebody spend a week in Oregon and bring it back and everything. He goes, so we're just selling it cash only sale. You have to pay full cash. He said, because a lot of banks will not loan on TMU vehicles.
That sounds like a really stupid reason.
Right?
But and for the dealership. So mm-hmm. what you're telling me is they have a $27,000 vehicle.
A $40,000 $40,000.
$27,000 they were selling
mm-hmm.
it for.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't willing to spend $5,000
mm-hmm.
to sell a vehicle for $40,000.
That's essentially what he was telling me, yeah.
That's silly.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah. You don't understand business.
Yeah. Right. So anyways, I was like, okay. And so as we were coming back to the front of the lot, because I kind of had that one tucked in the back, the F-150 I was originally looking at was gone. And I was like, hey, where'd the F-150 go that was here? And he goes, I'm not sure. Let me go find out. He goes, oh, we took it to the back to do some inspection on it. There's a guy wanted to buy it, but the guy needs to prove his income. And so I was like, oh, that's the one I was actually kind of interested in and everything. Because that one, it was listed at $21,000.
Wow.
So for everything on that vehicle, which is way nicer creature comforts inside. Yeah. The interior is super clean. The previous owner took really good care of it. Has an e-locker in the rear axle. Has towing built into the vehicle. Four-wheel drive, everything. With a 3.5 liter EcoBoost engine, which I learned later that's a really good engine that Ford came out with here. For like $7,000 to $8,000 less on average than what all the equivalents from Toyota, the Tundras, are. And I was like,
wow,
man, it okay. is. So I was just looking at everything. I was like, man, this thing has better creature comforts, a better interior, more amenities, a rear e-locker, a better engine. That 3.5 liter EcoBoost twin turbo, I went home and did some research on it because I told the guy, I was like, all right, I just don't know enough about these vehicles. I'm going to go home, do some research, and then call me in the morning if that guy doesn't pay for the truck and I'll come by and take a look at it again.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, okay. So I went home and looked at it. That 3.5 liter twin turbo.
Did you phone a friend?
I did phone a friend, our resident Ford expert over at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, Jason. And so I told him about the two options between the 6.7 diesel and the F-150. And he goes, both are great choices. I was like, I know that 6.7 is a great choice. That's the gas engine other than the 7.3 that you want, the diesel engine other than the 7.3 that you want to get.
Right.
And so I was like, I know that's a good choice, but I'm like, that's way overkill for what I need right now. Like, do I really need that? I don't, I'm not towing things. I'm not doing a cab over camper. I'm not going to be hauling like big stuff. I was like, I don't really need that. The F-150 would be just fine. I said, if I need to tow anything, the F-150 should be able to, as long as I'm not overloading it too much.
Yeah. Those things carry a lot.
Yeah. And so ultimately, I came home and talked to the secretary about it. And I was like, look, you have mentioned it in the past. We've talked about glamping and doing the Lance Life, hashtag Lance Life. And you've said that that sounds like a good thing, but you never said whether you would want to do it or not. So we had a very serious discussion about if we got the F-350, would we do more camping with it? Would we do get a cab over camper? And
would this change things for where they are to another level?
Yes.
Sure.
And we decided ultimately we probably wouldn't.
Okay.
And so we passed on the F-350. So if anybody wants a screaming deal on a 6.7 diesel cash only and you have $27,000 sitting around, check out Hayes Auto in Roseville. But I ended up looking back and getting the F-150. So the guy called me in the morning.
Also, at make sure to check out the awnings over at Hayes Auto, because I did them. I installed those awnings about 15 years ago.
Nice.
So the big red ones.
Oh, nice. Yeah. They're good. They're still in good condition.
Right. Maybe they've been redone by then. That 20 years would be a long time for an awning. Mm. Anyways, but going on.
So the guy calls me in the morning. He said, hey, the guy looking at the F-150 did not get his income approved
in time.
Yeah. So it's a new day. Therefore, the truck is officially back up for sale to whoever gets us money first. And I happened to be in Roseville running some errands. And I was like, I'll be over in 10 minutes.
No shit. Nice.
So my research on that 3.5 liter EcoBoost, the twin turbo, it does just as much performance. It's like 420 horsepower and 450 foot-pounds of torque, which is equivalent to the 5.7 liter Tundra.
Wow.
In a smaller package and better gas mileage.
Wow. Okay.
So I was like, this F-150,
there's turbos for you.
And there's turbos. I mean, that's what turbos do. And so I was like, this F-150, I would love to stay Toyota, but I'm really kind of upset at Toyota at letting the Tundra kind of be like the redheaded stepchild. It hasn't gotten a facelift. It's got inferior creature comforts in it.
Okay. That's where you're going. Okay. Yeah, I agree.
They refuse to put an e-locker in it. Yeah.
Don't be mad at Toyota though, because they hold their retail value very well.
That is true. And that's ultimately one of the issues.
That's the problem.
They were $7,000 to $8,000 more for a better truck from Ford. I don't know.
I don't know.
Better stat wise. I don't know. But,
you know, it does have, it's got turbos, but it's a V6, right? Compared to a V8.
Mm-hmm.
They're both full size rigs for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
The inside, I'm sure, are fairly comparable.
Mm-hmm. There's way more creature comforts in the F-150.
Are there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got AC seats.
I have air-conditioned seats. Yeah.
I was just going to go with, but the Ford comes with an e-locker, Toyota.
That was really like the thing that, as soon as I noticed that it had an e-locker, I was like, I didn't know any Ford trucks came with an e-locker. Where has this been my whole life? But yeah, I have a 2013.
The Ranger F-150. Doesn't come with an e-locker?
I don't know. I have no clue. I don't know anything about
Call Ford. Our friends over at Trail Chasers.
Yeah, we'll have to call them or call Matt. So anyways, I ended up getting the F-150. And I got
to ride in it.
Mm-hmm.
It is nice.
Yeah.
It is very nice.
It was funny.
You need to learn how to reverse in your driveway, though.
You're
hanging out into the sidewalk.
That's because I have trash cans back behind it. I don't want to hit the trash cans. But no, the secretary got to drive the F-150 because I drove the 4Runner up to Placerville. So she drove the F-150 because we needed to bring a bunch of shelving back down.
Okay.
And she goes, when you're driving it, it whistles a lot. And I was like, yeah, those are the turbos.
Right? Goes, yeah.
I was like, you're going to have to get used to those. She goes, we can't fix that. And I was like, nope.
No.
It's going to whistle.
That's a sexy noise.
Right?
She's not paying attention.
She's not paying attention.
Yeah, Clifford does. It has a very mild whistle, mm-hmm. but yeah.
So this one, you can definitely hear the whistling mm-hmm, with two mm-hmm. of them in there. But I was impressed. The freaking truck has a 16,000 curb weight rating, mm-hmm. which is, that's like everything loaded up. That's your truck, everything loaded in the truck, all the yep. passengers, everything in it, the trailer and whatever you have loaded on your trailer. That's like the full capacity of what the truck can handle, 16,000 pounds.
Yeah, and we tested that.
We tested. I think we got, I'm guessing we got to about 13.5.
Right. Do we want to go down that rabbit hole now?
Yeah, that's a good transition.
Are we off the Ford thing? Move on to the Toyota thing?
Let's move on to the Toyota thing.
All right. Welcome back to reality, ladies and germs. This episode actually goes on for like another hour and 15 minutes, mainly because Jimmy doesn't know how to stop talking. Obviously, we all know that's why it is. But we had a lot going on. This is what happens when Jimmy and I don't see each other for 2.5-3 weeks. So with that being said, we're splitting this episode into two to save your sanity. The second part of the shenanigans over the past couple weeks is coming out tomorrow for you guys. So you'll get all the fun updates from today and then a bunch more updates from tomorrow of a lot of stuff that happened over the weekend that was quite dramatic. So tune in tomorrow, and until next time, we will see you guys when we see you. Hopefully you guys are having fun out on the trails. Hopefully you're having a great Christmas and gearing up for a fantastic New Year's. And we'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning. And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
Okay.
I got one for you.
You got some jokes today?
I got a joke, at least.
Alrighty, I'm ready.
Yeah, so I went out on a date the other day, and I asked her to show up at the gym.
Oh.
Yeah.
For the date?
Or? Yeah, for the date.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she, I guess we're not going to work out.
Oh, that's too bad. I don't know, I could think of some good workouts for a date. Just saying.
Yeah. Hip thrusters. Yeah.